Well, I don't know that I intended to start a sermon series with the sermons that I've been preaching the last 2 weeks, but it's kind of become just a little bit of, I don't know, something that God is directing me to. A couple weeks ago, we talked about, do we know enough about God? Do we know Him well enough that if we had to stand before Him today, would we be able to hold our head up? Are we in that kind of a relationship that we know Him, and you know that old hymn said, "I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day." Are we at that place? So that was the first one. And then last week we talked about not conforming to the world, trying to figure out the things in this world that we should not do, that because, you know, the world does them, we don't. Is there a Bible verse that says don't say the F word? No, but as children of God, do we really think we should do that, even though it seems like everybody's doing it more and more every day, and it just makes me cringe? But, you know, how do we not conform to the world in which we live? And that's just one example. Today we're going to talk about sin. It's not a word we talk about a whole lot. We assume everybody knows what sin is. How many of you know what the actual definition in the old days of a sin was? It's an archery term. And when you're aiming for the target and you miss the target, you miss the mark, they call that a sin. So a sin is missing the mark. It's not an accident. It's not something that you, oh, oops, I messed up. It's something that you are trying to do and you miss the mark. It's one of the reasons why Paul said, I press on toward the mark of the high calling that God gave me. I want us to make sure that we realize and understand what sin is, how to maybe keep from sinning as much as we do, and that there is a process of going through when we do sin. And the passage that we're going to read has a big word, if. I wish they'd have put when. Okay? But if we sin, we have a way out, if you will. So, stand with me this morning. We're going to read 1 John chapter 1, and then we're also going to read two verses out of chapter 2. So, this is my Bible. I believe that this is the infallible word of God. I'll put His principles to practice in my life each day that I live. Because I read this Bible as the Word of God, I will never leave this place the same. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 John 1 says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the Word of life." Make sure you see that that word is capitalized. "The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar and His word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only ours, but also for the sins of the whole world." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this promise. I thank you for these instructions. I thank you for the testimony of the early apostles, that they knew who you were. They saw the importance of us understanding exactly who you are. Father, help us to understand who we are as human beings, who you are as God, and who Jesus is as our atoning sacrifice. I ask this in your name. Amen. You may be seated. John kind of starts this book out kind of like he started 1 John, or the Gospel of John, where he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's part of how we get our doctrine of the Trinity, that Jesus was with God the day that he created the world, that the Holy Spirit was right then there, that when they created all the stuff, God said, and let there be light, and let there be animals. But when it came to you and me, they said, let us make man in our image. We have those characteristics and those personality traits of God handed down through him. But there is one thing that's different about us. Because of what Adam and Eve did in the garden, we are born with a sinful nature. And we have a bent towards wanting to do the wrong thing. The thing that doesn't hit the mark that God wants us to hit. And so we have to figure out how to deal with the sin in our lives. And whether you've been a Christian for 60 years or 6 months, or whether you've not started yet, you're deciding, should I decide to follow Jesus or not? I will tell you this. I don't know anybody, and I talked to a lady who was 96 years old about 3 months before she passed away, and I asked her, I said, you've been living for Jesus since you were 19 years old. Do you got it all figured out? And she goes, no. She goes, I fight my attitude every day. She goes, I fight my judgmental attitude every day. And I'm thinking, man, she's been following Jesus for almost 75, 80 years, and she still struggles with some stuff. She may not struggle with some of the stuff that she struggled with when she was 19 or 20, but she's still struggling. And I love the passage in here, I love the verse in this passage. It says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. Now, I'm not saying you sin. We're not of the faith that says you sin in word, thought, or deed every day. Okay? I'm not going there. But I do know that Satan tempts us. I do know that none of us are perfect. And I do know that we all need to be aware of what sin is. Maybe as we get older in our faith, God starts to show us something that is actually something he doesn't want us to do anymore. And he enlightens us. And we talk about it at church. We say we want to walk in all the light that we have. That means we want to look at life and say, am I doing the best that I know how to do right now? And especially when people first get saved, I believe in my heart there are things that God and the Holy Spirit deal with in those people. And he may not deal with everything in their life all at once, because there's bigger fish to fry. He knows exactly what they need to do to continue their progress upward. And if he just lays everything down on them, it's going to be really tough. I've said this before, but I'll say it for those of you that haven't been around our church forever. I was about 15 years old at a camp meeting in Wichita. And every night after the service was over, they would open up the snack shop. We would all line up at the snack shop. But they would never open the snack shop until all the altars were cleared and, quote, every heart was clear. And, you know, every heart was right. And so we were waiting outside the tabernacle for the snack bar to open. I was sitting on a ledge right by where this gentleman and one of the elders got up from the altar and started talking right before. And I heard this elder, whether he was a pastor or whatever, he told this guy, he said, okay, now that you've accepted Jesus, you can't cuss, you can't smoke, you can't. I mean, and he went through this big list of stuff. And I told my friend, I said, that dude ain't ever coming back. And he wasn't coming back because he came in, he heard the message, he responded to a message that said, I can become a child of God and I can go to heaven. And then this guy lays on this burden so heavy that it's like, I can't do that. And so I am sure, and we never did see the gentleman come back. And that was like the first or second night of the camp meeting. He never came back. It's just like, well, if I got to do all that, forget it. If we can help people find Jesus, the Holy Spirit will be faithful to help them understand how to live their lives the way that God wants them to. As God tells them, as they see us live our lives as good as we can. Paul said, if you haven't seen Jesus, live like me. Most of us aren't comfortable enough to go live like me. But we should be living lives that are trying to be as much like Jesus as possible. And so the first thing I want to do this morning is I want to talk to us about what sin is. So whether you want to phrase sin as missing the mark or intentionally committing a sin or doing something wrong, we're all born with a conscience. Most of us know the difference between right and wrong. And then when we get saved, when we start following Jesus, the Holy Spirit supercharges our conscience and we start to, the gray areas get very small, okay? There's not a whole lot of gray. It's like, you know whether it's right, you know whether it's wrong. The choice is, are you going to do the right thing or the wrong thing? So, the definition in the dictionary of a sin is an immoral act, okay? Something that your conscience knows is wrong. Cheating, lying, stealing. So those are the kinds of things that are immoral acts that you should not do. The Bible, again, we talked a little bit about the list of do's and don'ts, and there are lists in the Bible of some things that we're not supposed to do. So an immoral act is a sin of what I call, and you might want to write this to the side of the immoral act, that is a sin of commission. That is a sin that you do that you know you probably shouldn't, or you know you shouldn't. Not probably, just let's call it the way it is, okay? You know you shouldn't do it, but you do it. You've committed a sin. It's not an accident. You missed the mark, okay? There's also the second kind of sin is failing to perform a righteous act. The Bible says that he who knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him it's sin. So if you know you're supposed to be reading your Bible, if you know you're supposed to be praying, if you know you're supposed to be helping your fellow man, if you know you're supposed to be loving your neighbor, and the list goes on and on, if you know you're supposed to do that stuff and you're not doing it, that's a sin of omission. Okay? So in the world, in theology, we have two types of sins. We have the sins of commission and the sins of omission. And there are things that we know we're supposed to do, but they're too hard or they take too much time or I don't like that person enough to do that for them. I mean, you can come up with all the excuses you want. That's why we don't do those things. But I want to help you understand this, though, too. These are not accidents, okay? John Wesley, who we have as the namesake of our church, John Wesley said his definition of a sin was this. It's a willful transgression of the known law, okay? God's not going to hold you accountable for something that you don't know is wrong. If your mom puts a bunch of cookies in a candy jar or a cookie jar and leaves them on the table and you come in from outside and you see the cookie jar and you open the jar, take a couple cookies and eat, and she comes in and goes, you took my cookies. She can't say, I told you not to take the cookies. If you didn't know it was wrong to take the cookies, it's not wrong. And mom might be frustrated because she didn't tell you, don't eat the cookies. But she's probably not going to give you a a bunch of trash or get you in a bunch of trouble for doing it. God is going to be faithful. There are going to be things in my life, there are going to be things in your life that we do when we find Christ. And over time, God will go, you know, I've worked on this and I've worked on this, but I think today we're going to work on this. And He's going to bring that to your attention and to my attention, and we're going to have the opportunity then to follow Him because we're God's kids. And we're going to see that the things that He's telling us to do or not to do are good for us. And then we need to just believe that. So, we have sins that are acts of commission and omission. And we're all sitting here and we're all going, and we're all thinking about the sins that we should be doing or the things that we shouldn't be doing, okay? And that's okay. That's the Holy Spirit going, and that's all right. So the question is, how do I keep from doing these things that I'm thinking about, right? Or how do I start doing what I'm thinking about? Well, I believe this with all my heart. I believe that Psalms 119 says, I know it, Psalms 19 says, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I have to do it in the King James because that's how I memorized it, all right? So, but we hide God's word, we study God's word, we read God's word. It helps us understand who God is. And it builds the fellowship, not only with God, but with fellowship of believers. It helps us to not sin as much also. We start to see the way people act. Again, you know, you know somebody like me who when I was 18 to 22, and I'm not proud of this, I'm just telling you this, I cussed the wallpaper off a wall. When I got mad, I let it go. I've gotten to the place where as a mechanic, you're busting your knuckles, you're doing stuff, I'm beating races out of bearing housings, and you hit your thumb, and I don't say a word. I cringe, yes, it's painful, but God has got me to the place where it's just like, I don't say anything anymore. I definitely don't say praise the Lord, okay? I'm not that spiritual, okay? So, but it's one of those deals where God changes us over time. And he helps us learn. And hanging around people that are like Jesus rubs off. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. So we need to make sure that we do that. We also need to, number one, when it comes to keeping from sinning, realize what Jesus did for you. Okay? We haven't done it for a few years, but I think this year on either Friday night, Good Friday, or Saturday before Easter, I think we're going to open up the church and we're going to put the Passion of the Christ on. If you've never watched the Passion of the Christ, you should at least watch it one time. I don't recommend it as just for your viewing pleasure that you go out and watch this movie, but I think it's worth watching. I remember the first time I saw it, I walked out of the theater and I went, I'm not worth that. I'm not worth that. I know who I am, and I know that I don't deserve what Jesus did for me. And if we can understand what Jesus did for us, then breaking his rules, breaking his commands, doing things that we know he wouldn't like, we can sacrifice some of our selfishness, some of our humanness to say, I want to act like Jesus would act. I want to do what Jesus would do. We also have to understand what sin does to God. In the Old Testament book of Habakkuk is talking to God and he says, and he's telling people about God's nature, and he says, your eyes are too pure to look upon sin. To look upon evil. And so if we serve a God who can't look at sin, then when we sin, what does that do? And we're going to talk about that in just a second. But what does that do to our fellowship with God when we choose to willfully sin. Again, we're not talking about an accident. I used to tell the teenagers, especially the teenage boys, you know, if you're driving down the road and you notice this really good-looking girl on the side of the road and you notice her, there is nothing wrong with that. If you make three rights to come around so you can look at her again, then we got a problem. All right? So, I mean, that's not an accident. That's not just flippantly. That's the lust that we have. So, we have to understand what it does. The best way to keep from sinning is to really stay in fellowship with God. And that is done by being with God's people at His house of worship. It's done through reading His word, through praying, through just in a normal day when nobody else is around, maybe you're just having a conversation with God. If you're driving, please don't shut your eyes. But you can have a conversation with God while you're driving down the road. And especially, you know, I used to do it all the time before we had cell phones. And I know they thought I was weird, but now they don't know whether I'm talking to somebody on the phone or not. I can just talk to my heart's content and talk to God about my day. And we're supposed to pray without ceasing. Prayer is conversation with God. And yes, sometimes we're going to pray prayers where we bow our heads and we close our eyes. But you don't have to talk to God. Your fellowship with God is extremely important. And I know that as we think about the sins that we commit that are hard to overcome, we need to know that there's hope. There's hope. I struggled personally for years with the fact that I would go to church, I would hear a message, I would feel like God was convicting me, I would come to an altar, or I would say the prayer, and I would get saved, and then I would walk out of the church, and the next day I would do something, and I felt like I had to go right back and get resaved. I mean, it was so frustrating, and most of you know that at about 17 years old, I gave it up. I said, you know what, if I'm going to go to hell, I'm going to have some fun getting there, because I didn't think I could live a good enough life. And when I came back to God about age 22, and I really made a commitment. But it wasn't until I was about 23 or 24 where I quit having this constant battle, because a pastor explained to me what 1 John 1:9 really says. And what 1 John 9 really says is it's not a one-time thing or an each-time thing. It's a continual thing. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. I wish they would have put this in the Greek tense, because this is an ongoing tense. It's not a past tense. It's not a present tense. What it should read is it should say, if we keep confessing our sins, He keeps forgiving us of our sins and keeps purifying us from all unrighteousness. As long as we are willing to listen to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit when we mess up and we confess. And confession is about three things. It's about admitting that we did something wrong. It's about being sorry that we did it and asking Jesus to forgive us. That's confession. So it's not just, oh, messed up again, Lord, please forgive me. That's not confession. Confession is, I missed the mark. I knew better. I'm really sorry. I'm going to do my best not to do it. Please forgive me. When that happens, the Bible says that Jesus is our defense attorney. Jesus sits on the right hand of God. When I sin, when you sin, when any of us sin, God is watching. And when we sin, God has to turn away, because his eyes are too pure to look upon evil. So that breaks the contact, if you will. But Jesus is our advocate. And the Holy Spirit convicts, we confess, and then our defense attorney says, it's okay to look again. They did it. It's covered by my blood again. So you can look upon them. We have to realize that Jesus is our defense attorney. We have to confess our offense. And I just talked about that earlier. You can't just say, I used to have a person that I knew that at the end of every prayer that he prayed, it didn't matter if it was a prayer at church, or if it was a prayer at school, or if it was a prayer for grace. Every prayer ended with, and forgive us where we failed you. It was just kind of, oh, messed up. It's like going, you know, now I lay me down to sleep. You know, pray, oh, yeah, and make sure that anything that I did wrong today, you forgive me of. That's not confession. That's flipping. And that's not taking our relationship as a child of God serious the way we should. When we confess, though, whether we've sinned against God, sinned against our fellow man, whatever it is, we make amends and we move on. That sin is forgiven. God's not going to hold us accountable for it. The Bible says he throws our sin as far as the east is from the west and remembers it no more. Doesn't forget it. He chooses not to remember. God has a wonderful memory, but he does not hold confessed sin against us. And that should make us all really, really happy. That we don't have to stand before him. The stuff that's been forgiven, God's not going to remind us at the end of the age when everybody gets judged for what they've done and what they haven't done. We're going to get judged on what we've done and whatever's not confessed. But if we are faithful to listen to the Holy Spirit, we can make amends, whether it's God, mankind, whoever it is we've sinned against, and move on. Your application this morning is simply this. Stay close to God. It's hard to mess up if he's with you. You know, if your mom tells you not to take any cookies out of the cookie jar and she's sitting at the table, you probably aren't going to take any cookies out of the cookie jar. But if you take the cookie jar and run into the closet or whatever and decide to go eat some cookies, then you're going to get into some serious trouble. All right? So, stay close to God and you're not going to have this problem. Somebody's upset. Oh. Let's stand this morning. Living the life is worth it. It takes time. It takes effort. But God loves us and he's made a way. And he made it through Jesus. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for today. I thank you for your many blessings to us. I pray that you would help us to take seriously our lives and the way we walk with you. Help us to identify the sin that is in our life and to do our best to stop, to ask you for help, to know that you want us to quit and to be willing to do and walk the way that you would walk. I ask this in your name. Amen.